Welcome, everyone. This is Robin Duncan, and I'm here with my husband, Terry Macy.
Hi, everyone. Good to be with you.
We are here for the A Course in Miracles Global Study Group. We are your hosts for this series. Tonight, we will be covering the fourth class on Chapter 14. We call that Chapter 14, Part 4. That does not mean Section 4. It just means the fourth class on Chapter 14. We will kick off by reading section number 5 in chapter 14 called The Circle of Atonement. This section, along with the one from last class, is very specific about our only purpose and all that Holy Spirit is asking us to do. So it's really great that we have back-to-back classes where he's saying, you know what? You think you have lots to do, but you have one thing. And that is forgiveness. We'll talk more about that here tonight. Let's go ahead and get started with an opening prayer. Dear God, we come to you today together in this beautiful circle of light. As we go through each day, it can be challenging because our eyes are showing us what we believe to be true in the place of truth. If we're not careful about that, it's very easy for us to fall into judgment and fear and worry because we see the things that we are fearful about. Then we reinforce those fears and we see them again and again. We call upon the Holy Spirit together to heal any place in our mind where we are holding on to the idea that the Holy Child of God could be guilty or wrong or dark or evil or deceptive, any of those terms that would imply that what God created within us has been lost or taken away or even given away. Please help us to see that this is not so and it has never been. Holy Spirit, we stand together with you and ask that you would decide for us about everything so that we can simply walk along with you and you can teach us about what has always been and we can get back to the happiness that is your will and what God created for us to have. Your will be done. Amen. Well, as we join here tonight, I'd like you to imagine a circle of light and innocence and purity, just a beautiful circle of light, and maybe it's 100 feet across, just beautiful. Imagine that there was a time when you knew yourself to be right in the center of that circle, but somewhere along the way, we accepted that false idea that separation from God is even possible. And when we accepted that false idea, it's almost like the light went out. And further, A Course in Miracles teaches us that we feel guilty about that. We think that we caused the unthinkable to happen. Whether we did it and now we feel guilty, or whether we feel flawed and that we're not worthy of being in that circle, or we might even believe that God threw us out of that circle, but there's something within us that feels a little bit unworthy, inadequate, and guilty. What we're learning together is how to lay down that guilt and to reclaim this circle of light that is what God created us to have and to enjoy. So here we are. There's that beautiful circle of light. Let's say it's 100 feet across, just for the image in our mind, and we are standing outside that circle. Imagine that you would love to be back in the middle of that circle, because in the circle is where true happiness is, the kind that does not go up and down or slip away. That's where the everlasting peace is and the abundance of God, that in the center of that circle is where life works and everything is good. And relationships are healed and whole. Everything is good in the middle of that circle. There are no problems. There is no darkness of any kind. There is no guilt, and no trace of guilt in truth has ever touched you. And God gave you that circle. But for a while, we thought we lost that circle. So how do we get back in there? You know, we might see ourselves in there from time to time as we pray or meditate or claim what we are learning in A Course in Miracles, that I am the holy child of God, free of all limits, safe and healed and whole, innocent and pure. We can claim it, and we can climb back in that circle in our mind. And then before we know it, we feel like we're outside again because something else is a challenge, something else has gone wrong. So how do we stay in the circle where peace is unshakable? Well, we can start by stepping in, as we talked before, through prayer or meditation. We can step in our mind because we are the ones that think we are outside. But we can claim that circle and step right into the middle. But every time we see another person as guilty, then A Course in Miracles teaches us that we must join them outside the circle, because there is no guilt inside the circle that God created for us and through us. So when we judge someone, or we see them as deceptive, wrong, difficult, sick, broke, broken, addicted, there's so many terms that the ego would like us to think about. If we see them as anything less than whole, anything less than innocent, then we are actually seeing them outside the circle. Well, now separation is not real in truth, so the moment we do that, we have to put ourselves outside that circle. And that's why we keep finding ourselves outside. So I thought this might be a little way to remind yourself that our goal is to get inside that circle in our mind, to step in there and claim that place. The way that we stay there is we must be willing to see every other person that we had been seeing as guilty or less than whole, all those people outside the circle that we have been seeing there, well, we have to invite them right on into our circle. Imagine that when they are in the circle with you, that they have laid down their guilt, their difficulties, their struggles, all the labels that we might see them as, all of those come off as we invite them into the circle. You see, this isn't so hard. If you could think of one person right now that you might be seeing as less than a blessing in your life, in A Course in Miracles, it quickly says, you know who they are, that one person that is a challenge, someone that frustrates you, or maybe you see them from afar. It might be a politician. It might be a leader in your community. It might be someone at your church. But whoever this person is, the moment we see them do something we do not like or say something we do not want to hear, or maybe they show us an image of sickness or being broke or broken, well, the moment we accept that image, we have now placed them outside the circle in our mind. And so there we go again. We have to run outside the circle and join them there because separation is not real. Now, it seems challenging, doesn't it? Because every time someone shows up and they disturb your peace for any reason, it sure is tempting to validate what you see and to get frustrated by that. But remember what you're giving up. You're giving up your awareness of being inside that circle. And inside that circle is where everything good happens. So it's almost like a house that is this circle. Do not leave your house. And in fact, when people show up outside those windows and they seem to represent something other than a blessing in your life, well, then invite them into your house, because as they enter your house of light, they cannot bring darkness with them. Now, this is all just done in consciousness. It's a way to allow Holy Spirit the room to heal all misperceptions, but we have to be willing to bring them into our house, don't we? there's that person that is difficult right now that you're thinking of, you may think, well, I don't want that person in my house because what they have done is so terrible. But realize you're making a choice. Would you, in essence, judge them and keep them outside and validate what you see or hear? Or would you be willing to invite them inside so that you can see them truly and Holy Spirit can show you who they really are, and you are always at choice? The problem is, so many of us, we keep those people out there, and then we deadbolt the door. Don't let those people in my house. In fact, I've heard many people say, well, you just need to get away from those people. Get them out of your life. Well, you can do that for a while, but problem is, they show up again in another form and behind another face because our consciousness goes with us. If you have a really terrible neighbor that you just can't stand, and if you think you can just move out of the neighborhood and you're free of it, it doesn't quite work that way, does it? Because that neighbor is representing a thought form. Everything we look at is the effect of our past thoughts and beliefs, our unhealed past thoughts and beliefs. So if you have a very difficult neighbor that might be showing you that you have a belief that you're not lovable, that people do not treat you with respect, that other people out there are unfair or attacking, and if you think you can just pack up and move to get away from them, well, that might work for a week or two. Before you know it, there they are again, someone attacking, someone being so unfair. But what we can do is just go straight to prayer. And through this section tonight called the Circle of Atonement, he's going to remind us again of the very important lesson from last class, which is we have one function. One. We think we have so many things to do. At least I used to think that. Terry used to think that. We used to think that we had to figure out how to get all the kids through school, and we had to figure out tuition for college, and we had to figure out where to live and how to keep those cars running, which food to buy and where to buy it from and what clothes we should have. We just thought we had 1,000 decisions to make, and what he's teaching us is you don't. You have one thing to do, which really, if you think of it, gives you a lot of time for a lot of other things that you will find much more relaxing. He's asking us to do one thing, forgive guilt in any form. Guilt isn't just about doing something wrong. You see, someone can, in our mind, be guilty about being broke. Someone can be guilty of being an addict. Someone can be guilty of saying the wrong thing. So whatever form that we are projecting that guilt onto, he says, you have one job if you will accept it, and I will take care of everything else. There will be no obstacles for you if you will give me this one thing. Release them from guilt in your mind. In essence, we have to invite them in our house of light and just be willing to see them enter in your mind. This is not about something you do in the physical. It's something you do in the spiritual. So if you're seeing someone outside your house of light and they're out there in the darkness and they're causing a lot of trouble out there in one form or another, let's be willing to open the door and let them in our house of light. Because the moment they enter, every form of darkness disappears. Every label is gone. Every trace of guilt is undone. So if they were broke before or didn't have enough money, or they were homeless, well, if you could take a moment and see that homeless person coming in your house, well, right as they walk through the door, all those old tattered clothes would fall away. And then all of a sudden, as they enter your house, they could be wearing something so beautiful and worthy of them. Or if you see someone sick out there and you don't know quite how to help them, you could invite them into your house of light. And the moment they pass through that door into your house, your Father's house, your heavenly home, the sickness is undone. See them as walking through that door, and they are whole, and they are free, and they are safe, and they are loved. And just invite them into your house. That's what Holy Spirit is asking us to do, is see no one outside that circle. Because if we do, we must join them there. There's a couple of quotes here tonight that we'll be reading, but I'm going to read them right now so that when we hear them again, we will really, really hear them. He says here in paragraph number 5, he says, "From everyone whom you accord release from guilt, you will inevitably learn your innocence. The circle of atonement has no end, and you will find ever-increasing confidence in your safe inclusion in the circle with everyone you bring within it, safety and its perfect peace. So as you invite people into your circle of light, your house of light, you join them there. And this is how you will learn your own innocence. The only way to learn it is by your determination to see it in everyone else. It's a one-way street. We have to see it within them before we will know it within ourselves." Here's another quick quote from paragraph number 9. "Fail not the only purpose to which my teaching calls you. Restore to God his Son as he created him by teaching him his innocence." So we can teach them verbally, and we can teach them right there in our mind. We can do this by offering him a place in our home of light. He's saying, fail not the only purpose his teaching calls you to. Remember, there's only one thing he's asking you to do. And what I have found in the last few weeks, just practicing this with everything I've got, that I have one job to do, and that's my job, and Holy Spirit is in charge of everything else, I have found unshakable peace within me. I have found that my dreams are happier at night. I have found that I feel more optimistic and I feel lighter about life. I feel that creation is flowing through me higher than it has ever been. And I find that even little simple problems that had been just riding along, not something so serious, but it seems that all the big ones have been resolved through studying A Course in Miracles. There were those little ones that maybe had not been resolved as yet, and even those are being resolved. And things are just correcting right in front of me. It is such a wonderful practice. You have one job, one function, one calling, to forgive. And to see every other person as free of guilt of anything, and then always include yourself, to see yourself as free of guilt, to forgive yourself for the idea that might have put that situation in front of you. We forgive our miscreations. And as we offer that place of forgiveness, well, now all the fog in our mind starts to clear, and Holy Spirit can actually show us what is rightfully ours. It says in paragraph 11, "Each one you see, you place within the holy circle of atonement or leave outside, judging him fit for crucifixion or for redemption. If you bring him into the circle of purity, you will rest there with him. If you leave him without, you join him there. Come gladly to the holy circle and look out in peace on all who think they are outside. Cast no one out, for here is what he seeks along with you. Come, let us join him in the holy place of peace, which is for all of us, united as one within the cause of peace." If you're watching one of those commercials of maybe a St. Jude Center for Children that have cancer, and they do such lovely work and helping to take care of the children and the families. But as you look at that child who has lost their hair due to illness, and you're feeling sad in your heart that they're going through all of this, we all know what compassion is, and we know what it's like to hurt and to suffer. So our heart goes out to them. But pause, and in your mind, get them into that house of light that is your own. See them enter that door one by one by one, and as they do, the cancer is gone, and they are free of all those ideas that we have put upon them. And then forgive yourself for ever thinking that cancer could take away the wholeness that God has given them. Let it be a day of celebration. It only takes a few seconds as you're watching that commercial, and you can send your money too. But let's never leave that moment thinking that those children are guilty of sickness outside that house. Let's get them on in here into the light where we stand, because this is the only way that we're going to see ourselves as free of sickness. We join them wherever we place them. And I don't think there's anyone here that intends to think about bringing harm to anyone or doing the wrong thing. It's not about that. It's that our ego is working 24/7 trying to convince us that we are guilty and that we are less than whole, that God does not love us, and that we are not worthy. And it works 24/7 to convince us of this, and we believe it at a deeper level, and then we see a world that seems to show it right back to us. So let every situation be that opportunity to invite whoever it is that you're seeing as a little bit less than light, little bit less than a blessing, bring them into your house. Forgive that idea and see them free of it the moment they enter your door. This is all he's asking you to do. Forgive them. Forgive the idea. Forgive every trace of guilt or sorrow or deception. Even if that person is a murderer out there, it's not as easy. But just take a moment, imagine inviting them into your house, not so that they can be a murderer inside, but imagine as they pass through that door that you allow them in your mind to lay down that costume that they have been wearing that looks so dark. And then just see them enter your house of light where they reclaim their innocence, where they become a blessing again, where they can only bless you. Just be willing to see it. This is to forgive those old images. We are not reinforcing them. We are not giving power to them. In paragraph number 5, it says, your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms. The happy learners of atonement, which you can think of as purity, innocence, and the realization that separation never occurred, so it's like saying the happy learners of reality become the teachers of the innocence that is the right of all that God created. Deny them not what is their due, for you will not withhold it from them alone. So that means if we withhold forgiveness from them, guess what? We have to head on out our own door and join them for a while in the darkness where we are holding them. So wherever we place them in our mind, we must join them there. If you're wondering why things are feeling dark or difficult, then it might be because there's someone outside your house that might need to be invited in. And let's give them a lovely room where they can stay and be the blessing that they are. And this is just in consciousness. But watch what happens after. For Holy Spirit will lift the veil of darkness. It's really amazing when the person you invited in consciously, willingly, what did he say, with active willingness, all of a sudden goes from being a darkened figure in your life to being a light-filled blessing. Terry and I have seen it again and again in our own lives. In fact, I would say all of our relationships have been healed. There is not one that is a detriment. There is not one place where we feel that there's something amiss in that relationship. And we're just willing to keep all those people right there in our house of light with us. Let's go ahead and get started here tonight. Terry, you can kick us off with a little humor, get us going.
All right, absolutely. Well, my humor for today is entitled, The Happily Married Couple. A happily married couple was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. So at their celebration party, everybody wanted to know, in this day and age, how have they managed to get along and stay married so long? The husband proudly stood up and responded for all to hear. Well, when we were first married, we came to an agreement. I would make all the major decisions, and my wife would make all the minor decisions. And in 60 years of marriage, we have never needed to make a major decision.
Well, come to think of it, Terry, we haven't either, right?
That's right. So my record is clean.
Yeah, whatever she says, right? That's right. A happy marriage right there.
That's like
Terry's so good about that.
I got a kick out of one time I saw a guy in real life standing up in front of a crowd of reporters after he had won the lottery, and the first question was, what are you going to spend the money on? And he said, whatever my wife tells me to spend the money on.
Well, that's an important
part
of
marriage.
We know how
to keep out of trouble.
No, you get to decide sometimes whenever I tell you, right?
That's exactly right, and I'm happy to do so.
All right. Well, tonight you can have the floor. Let's start with section number 5 on the Circle of Atonement in chapter number 14, paragraph number 1.
The only part of your mind that has reality is the part that links you still with God. Would you have all of it transformed into a radiant message of God's love to share with all the lonely ones who have denied him? God makes this possible.
As we read these words, it's very beautiful to read the words, but when you hear what they're saying, he is offering you a place in reality, which means your whole life experience, and he's saying, would you like to have all of it transformed and have a radiant message of God's love to share with everyone? So everyone out there, would you like to have your whole life transformed? Then in sentence 3, he says, it is God that makes this possible. Not us, not through all of our wonderful efforts, but God makes this possible. Sentence 4.
Would you deny his yearning to be known? You yearn for him as he for you. This is forever changeless. Accept then the immutable. Leave the world of death behind and return quietly to heaven. There is nothing of value here and everything of value there. Listen to the Holy Spirit and to God through him. He speaks of you to you. There is no guilt in you, for God is blessed in his Son as the Son is blessed in him.
I remember as I was learning A Course in Miracles that sometimes I would read these words that just sounded so dark, and I thought, well, I don't know if the world is like that, the world of death. But then the more you think of it, this is a world of death. Every single person here dies. We come here, we live, and then we die. That's the image of the world we see. So it is, in essence, a world of death. As he's asking us to leave it behind, it doesn't mean that we just pack up and head out to the desert. It means to leave it behind in consciousness, meaning to understand that it's not the truth, that we are using what we see to replace in our mind what is real, which is eternal life. So we're looking out on a world of death that we are using to validate that death is real, not eternal life. And so as he's saying, leave it behind, it's like to forgive that idea, to let go of the idea that a world of death is our destiny, and to accept that there is another world within us that we forgot. And as we remember it, as we make a place to remember it, Holy Spirit then has room to heal all of our misperceptions that we gathered along the way. As this happens, our eyes report a happier and happier life. Because if our mind is the projector and the projector is healing, at the guidance of Holy Spirit, well, then what we see with our eyes, the projection, just gets happier and happier. And as this happens, you start to experience a life that you truly love, that you truly enjoy, but we're not holding on to what we see as in the place of our happiness. We're just enjoying it as we're waking up. We are being prepared for that transition into the awakened mind because it is so happy, so light-filled, so wonderful that we actually have to be prepared for that memory or it would be startling. So we are on our way with each other and the guidance of Holy Spirit to release the idea that the world we see is all there is, and we're willing to imagine there's more than what we see. Maybe we don't have it all sorted out, and we are listening to our guide. He's asking us to do one thing: forgive the images you see, lay them down, let them go, bring everyone into the light with you, and I will do the rest. That's what the Holy Spirit is asking. Paragraph number 2.
Everyone has a special part to play in the atonement, but the message given to each one is always the same. God's Son is guiltless.
All right, so we all have a part to play. Sounds like it's pretty complex. 7 billion people plus have a part to play in the atonement, but guess what? The message given to each one is the same. God's Son is guiltless. I think we forget to practice that. I know that I do, and I did, and I'm trying to tighten that up so that I really go through each day and I make a point in every situation, as much as I can remember, that God's Son is guiltless, that we are innocent, that we are not the appearances that we see with our eyes, that we are as God created us. And I may not remember that wholly, but I'm willing to remember. Remember, he asked us for active willingness. That's it. We don't have to actually have it perfected, just have a active willingness to see it, and then Holy Spirit will show it to us. Sentence 2.
Each one teaches the message differently and learns it differently. Yet until he teaches it and learns it, he will suffer the pain of dim awareness that his true function remains unfulfilled in him. The burden of guilt is heavy, but God would not have you bound by it.
I think we all know the burden of guilt. If you feel guilty about something, you just feel dark inside. You feel bad about whatever the situation is, and it is a heavy burden. And he's telling us that God would not have us bound by guilt. And it doesn't mean that we can just go around the world and do the wrong thing and then say, oh, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty. If we went around the world and we were just doing the wrong thing every day on purpose, well, that's the same as walking around outside the house in darkness. So, in essence, we would not know the inside of the light-filled house because we would be coming from a lack of love, an absence of love. As long as we come from a place where love is absent, we would not recognize love. We would be as lost as any other time. So we do strive to come from a place of love, to follow the golden rule and teach and share with others the way that we would like to be treated. We are trying to remember what is true and what is right, but our guide is perfect. Holy Spirit is the one to make sure we remember. Make sure we get it right. We have one job, and that is to forgive every other person of whatever we are judging them for and to forgive ourselves. If we will do that, Holy Spirit orchestrates everything else. Let's go to sentence 5.
His plan for your awakening is as perfect as yours is fallible.
Let's stop there and think about that sentence, that his plan for our awakening is as perfect as our plan is messed up. So he has a perfect plan to wake us up and to remember what is true, to remember the great love of our Creator, to know the happiness that we were intended to have, created to have. That plan is so perfect that it is equal to the fallible nature of our plan. So whatever plan we have to figure everything out, it's not the right plan. And it's not because we're not smart, because we are, but we do not have the vantage point of understanding how all things work together and what is happening in the past, the present, the future for everyone involved. And so Holy Spirit has the vantage point of knowing all things about everyone and what is the right thing to happen so that everyone can be blessed in the highest possible way. So we have a guide within us that has a perfect plan for waking us up in the quickest possible time. Our plan doesn't work. We can forgive that and release it because that's not our function to know the right plan. Our function is forgiveness. Sentence 6.
You know not what you do, but he who knows is with you. His gentleness is yours, and all the love you share with God, he holds in trust for you. He would teach you nothing except how to be happy.
I remember a story once I heard on TV. It was just a story of someone, a young girl, I think she was around 17, and she got lost out, I think it was in the Grand Canyon, and I believe she was out there for 17 days. Somehow she just got lost out there, and she had a tough time. She actually lived through it, but it wasn't until she was almost done. There was no food, and she barely found little bits of water to keep her going, and just enough. And she was just finally going to completely give up and lay down and die and really give up any sense of hope. And she just started singing hymns, and she started singing Amazing Grace. It was like her invitation for something to help her. I think so much of the time we try to solve things on our own, and he's trying to tell us again and again, that's not your job. That's my job. But the moment that we take that job on as our own, then we abandon our guide. So the moment that she started to turn towards asking for help, singing a little bit, and then she went to sleep, and she really thought she was done, but she was at peace. She had really gone to a place of even singing and just welcoming help. All of a sudden, she was awakened by a tribe of Indians that found her and brought her back to civilization, and she was fine. It was someone that actually came to her and walked her out. But whatever you might be facing today, just remember that it's not your function to know what to do and how to fix it. He says your plan is fallible, but his plan is perfect. He is asking you to forgive yourself for however you think you got there, and forgive anyone that you think might have contributed to you getting here, and forgive anyone for anything that you might be judging them about. And then turn it over. It's Holy Spirit's function to handle the rest. He says in sentence 8 there, he would teach you nothing except how to be happy. We have a perfect guide at all times. Here's paragraph 3.
Blessed son of a holy blessing father, joy was created for you.
Joy was created for you. Just think of this. Sometimes life can be not so joyful. Other times it can be wonderful. But joy was created for us. And that is the blessing of our Creator. And if you are not feeling joyful right now, there's more to know. It doesn't mean that you have been exiled. It doesn't mean that God does not love you or include you. If you're not in joy right now, it means that somewhere in your mind, you have accepted something else in its place. Holy Spirit will sort that out. Your part is to forgive the judgments, forgive the guilt of someone saying something wrong, doing something wrong, treating you in the wrong way. It doesn't mean he's asking you to be a doormat. This is an inside decision. Bring them into your house of light and innocence and guiltlessness. See them free of all of those labels and limits. And that's what he's asking you to do. Then forgive yourself for ever labeling them or seeing them less than whole in the first place. And then Holy Spirit handles the rest. Then you will start to receive steps and guidance that will show you what to do such that you will know how to respond to your situation so that peace can be with you and the outcome can be peaceful. Sentence 2.
Who can condemn whom God has blessed? There is nothing in the mind of God that does not share his shining innocence.
If there was ever a time that you feel that you did something that wasn't so good, or maybe you said the wrong thing, maybe it was intentional or unintentional, he's telling us there in sentence 3 that there is nothing that God created that does not share his innocence. You still have the innocence that you are created to have. It has never gone away. You have never lost it. Forgive yourself. Forgive the images that you remember. Forgive the thought that you're holding against yourself. To forgive is to let go, to lay them down, to be willing to turn around and walk away. And it doesn't mean that you have to know how to do that. We have to have an active willingness to do that. We don't have to know the truth, but we must be willing to know the truth. We must want to know the truth before Holy Spirit can bring that back to our awareness. Sentence 4.
Creation is the natural extension of perfect purity.
I thought this was an interesting sentence because sometimes we're in that creative mode. We're starting a business. Maybe we're starting a new relationship. And sometimes things can feel really bogged down, like our creator function is turned down to low. You know, you're trying to get something done or create something, and it's just not working. But look at what this sentence says. It says that creation is the natural extension of what? Perfect purity. Who knew, right? So if you really want to get that creation function rolling in your life where you feel like you're out and extending the love, the light, the gifts that God has given you and that you are knowing the blessing of his love, then let's get back to remembering your perfect purity. And how do we do that? Remember, we have to see it in others. That's how we find it. It's like we're trying to gather gold from the stream, but in this case, we have to first claim the gold that we see in others before we find it again within ourselves. It's a one-way street. We just need that active willingness. No matter what that person is doing, they might be driving you crazy, driving you nuts. Just pause and remind yourself that God created them whole, loving, and complete. God created them to bless you, not curse you. So whatever you're looking at that looks like a curse in some way, let's be willing to know that's not the truth. An active willingness. Sentence 5.
Your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms.
I have a little document where I put different quotes that I just want to keep right in front of me. One of those is this sentence. Let's underline it, triple star it, and let's hear it again. It's so important. Your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms. Now, and let's remember it's in all forms because someone that seems to be sick in front of you, you may not realize that that's a form of guilt in your mind. It means they're guilty of sickness. If someone doesn't have enough money, it means they're guilty of lack. If someone is not treating you kindly, it means they're guilty of disrespect or lack of love. Whatever you are seeing that is less than a blessing, less than wholeness, less than innocence, is a place where we must pause and devote ourselves to our only calling, one thing. Remember, everything else gets done. The denial of guilt in all its forms. It will change your life radically. He says if you'll do your part, he will do his. And if you will give him that gift, because every time you do that, that is a gift to him. Because it's like you're letting the fog in your mind be cleared so that you can remember what is true. And it's the Holy Spirit's function to help you do that. So every time you let that fog be cleared by choosing to release anyone and everyone from guilt in all forms, that's a gift to him. You're helping him. And he says when he does that, he's going to replace your gift with his. And then things get very remarkably and extraordinarily different in a very good way. Sentence 6.
To accuse is not to understand. The happy learners of the atonement become the teachers of the innocence that is the right of all that God created. Deny them not what is their due, for you will not withhold it from them alone.
Let's take a situation. Let's pick a tough one because we have to practice here. Say that you just read an article about someone that was hurting animals and they were not thinking anything about it, just hurting these animals. Well, that can certainly rile frustration and anger in any one of us because none of us want that. And our anger seems so justified, right? When it's these terrible situations, people are doing the wrong thing. So let's practice. We're trying to see ourselves in that house of light and we see out the window, there's that person that is mistreating this animal. Well, the way that we can bring healing to this situation and even to every animal on earth as we see it is through this exercise. You don't even have to leave your couch. So pause, see that person out there, and I like to do selective forgiveness, meaning take each little part of it and forgive it. We have all these little tentacles that we have out there where we're judging different things on different levels. We don't have to have this perfect, but it helps us to be aware of the areas where we are judging. So let's just say I sit right there in my house of light and I realize that I'm not only judging the person, maybe I'm judging what they did to the animal and I'm judging the situation and I'm judging maybe the other people that have done this that I've heard about in my life. So what I can do is just in a few seconds of time, before I bring them into my house, I could just forgive them in my mind. I could say, God, I'm seeing this person as abusive. I'm seeing them as hurting these sweet creatures, animals, and I'm seeing other people doing the same. I'm seeing myself as unable to help or change it. I'm seeing myself as powerless. So I'm going to be willing to forgive these images so they can be healed in my mind. I'm going to forgive the idea that animals can be hurt. I'm going to forgive the idea that this person is dark and evil and that they would have it within them to do this. It doesn't mean I'm condoning what they did. We have to remember that what we're looking at is the effect of our belief in darkness and evil. If we will pause and turn that belief over to Holy Spirit, this is the quickest way that will bring the end to the abuse of animals in the experience we see. It's hard to see the connection there. Once you practice, you will see the connection there. But I just like to pause and say, okay, I need to forgive myself for the idea that I am powerless and I can't do anything about it. I forgive that person for what they did. I forgive, not meaning I condone them. I forgive the image I see because I understand that I'm looking at what I thought was true in the place of truth. And I want the truth instead of this. We have to forgive the images. We have to forgive the appearances before Holy Spirit can enter our mind where the projector is and heal those thoughts. Now, as we welcome Holy Spirit through forgiveness of all the images, all the words, all the actions, we just turn that over. We bring them into our house of light. And you may not want to. You might want to bolt your door. You're so mad at them. But remember, when they enter your house of light, they stop being an abuser. They stop being a place of darkness in your mind. They stop being able to abuse anything. They can only love. They can only bless. So the moment you bring them into your house, in your mind, you are disempowering them from continuing this role. And you have no interest in perpetuating it. And you are demonstrating that by your willingness, active willingness, to bring them into your house of light where they are free of the story against them or about them. It's not easy, but this is what brings the healing. Because the moment you bring them into your house in your mind and you're willing to see them free of those images, free of whatever it is that is disturbing you, this is when Holy Spirit can enter your mind and heal all of those old thoughts and misperceptions that are producing this pain, producing this experience of abuse. And when those thoughts are healed in your mind, you will start to open your eyes and the world you see is going to reflect that healing. You will be amazed. You will be so excited because you know that the work you're doing is inside you, but somehow it's showing up outside you. And you feel perhaps more powerful than you have ever felt. Paragraph number 4.
The inheritance of the kingdom is the right of God's Son, given him in his creation.
We love that word, inheritance. It means we get the goodies, right? We get the good stuff. And he's saying that the inheritance of the kingdom is our right. It's a right. But you know what? You will not know that inheritance until you remember that you are right in the center of that circle of atonement. You are right in the middle of that house of light. And how do we get back in there? We have to bring all our buddies back with us, right? And everybody's got to drop their baggage at the door. Just practice. Just practice bringing them on in there and leaving all the baggage at the door. See a giant celebration inside. This is a demonstration to Holy Spirit that you want the truth more than what you see with your eyes. Then things can radically change for the better. Sentence 2.
Do not try to steal it from him, or you will ask for guilt and will experience it. Protect his purity from every thought that would steal it away and keep it from his sight. Bring innocence to light in answer to the call of the atonement. Never allow purity to remain hidden, but shine away the heavy veils of guilt within which the Son of God has hidden himself from his own sight.
We can practice again real quick, just if you've ever seen those images of even the terrorists where they're wearing the black hoods on their heads. Maybe they've got the big knife and then they've got the innocent person sitting next to them and it's looking pretty awful for that person and the situation is so dark and horrific. Just take a moment. We see that image, and that image is an effect of our belief that we're separated from God, that evil is real, that darkness is real, anger is justified, attack is real. You see, that image we're looking at there is calling us to reinforce what is not so. Because God created only light and joy and peace, and it is your right to know his love and to receive his inheritance. But while we accepted separation, it's very frightening to think about separation. And now we look at a world that has these very horrific ideas of attack and death and suffering. So let's just take a moment, if you will, that we see that person with the dark hood, and let's just imagine that as we invite him into the house of light, let's imagine first that we're standing there to receive him. And as he comes through the door, remember, it's okay. You don't need to be afraid, because the moment he enters that house of light in your mind, all darkness disappears and the truth of him comes into the house. We're willing to just see this being of light as a blessing. He's coming in. He's a being of light that God created nothing less than this. We're asking, Holy Spirit, will you please give me the vision to see this? Because I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing that image over there, and that's really upsetting me. So I'm going to, in my mind, bring in the truth of him. I'm going to give you my active willingness to see the truth of him. And Holy Spirit, I need you to bring it on home, because I don't know that I can get there. And he says, that's what I'm asking you to do. Forgive the image, meaning to lay it down over there and to imagine this very darkened figure, that that's not the truth of him, and bring in the light of him, leaving all darkness at the door, all attack and pain and death and suffering, all the terror, it's left out. See him walk in. Forgive yourself for ever thinking that darkness and evil are real, because they're not the truth. Forgive yourself for projecting any images such as this. You've done your job. And now Holy Spirit says, great. Now I can begin to heal those thoughts that are creating those images. I couldn't do that before, because you kept revalidating them every time you saw the images, because you would get angry or fearful or worried, and then it would revalidate what you thought was true, and you would keep placing it there again in your mind, shooting it out again. So if we could just lay it down, it doesn't mean we condone it. It means that we're making room for what is true. Holy Spirit's going to bring the truth back to our mind, but we must make room for it. And we can do that together. And as you do this, you will be amazed at the healing that takes place in your own life, with your children, your relatives, your neighbors, the people at work. If you do this with that person that you don't even know, imagine what happens with the people you do know. It's easier to love someone you know, because you might be able to think of at least one good thing about them. Everybody has at least one good thing, right? So, but that stranger over there in the hoodie, it's hard to think of even one good thing. And if we can do this about someone like that, imagine the healing that it has in your life in the areas where you do know about love. It becomes amplified. Let's go now to paragraph 5.
We are all joined in the atonement here, and nothing else can unite us in this world. So will the world of separation slip away, and full communication be restored between the Father and the Son.
He's telling us that he understands that we see a world of separation, and we do. Even right now, as we are all joined together, each one of us, we look different, we sound different, we talk differently, maybe the same language, maybe people speak other languages. Everyone here seems to be part of that world of separation. He's saying that we are joined in the atonement, meaning in the truth, in the light, in the innocence. This is the place we are joined, and nothing else can unite us in this world. We have to do it first in consciousness, and then Holy Spirit will finish it for us. He says that then full communication will be restored between us and God. That is Holy Spirit's function, not ours, but we have to get the ball rolling, and this is how we do it. And I have a star next to sentence 3. Let's see what that says.
The miracle acknowledges the guiltlessness that must have been denied to produce the need of healing. Do not withhold this glad acknowledgement, for hope of happiness and release from suffering of every kind lie in it.
In the Miracles in Prayer book, which you can get for free at freeprayerbook.com or also out on our free website at miraclesforliving.org, either way. In the prayer book, though, there's a prayer number 150 that is a good one to memorize, at least the first few sentences. And it goes something like, there is only God. There is only the power of God. There's only the presence of God. There is no opposing power. And sin, disease, and death are not real. There's nothing to fear. And I've used that prayer in different variations, but saying basically the same thing. I have used it so many times. This sentence is saying that the miracle is that acknowledgement that guiltlessness has been denied. So when we restore guiltlessness to someone, that's where we get the miracle. And I remember seeing an accident one time with a car flipping over. So you could say I was seeing them guilty of being in an accident, not even thinking that they caused it. But remember, guilt means that it's something someone has done to cause them to be something other than what God created them to be. So right now I'm looking at them in this accident, so I'm seeing them guilty of being in an accident, and I started reciting the prayer of truth as I was pulling off the side of the road to go help. There is only God, there's only the power of God, there's only the presence of God, there is no opposing power. And then I start adding in other words, sin, disease, and death, and car accidents are not real. I want the truth instead of this. Holy Spirit, decide for me about this. Decide for them about this. I want the truth. So really what I just did is I brought back their guiltlessness. I'm looking at a scene outside my house that says that the power of God is missing and that these people are now vulnerable instead of invulnerable, and they're going to be hurt, maybe even killed, instead of eternal life. Now I'm seeing them as prone to being killed or something like suffering. Through the prayer, I am restoring them in my mind to a place of guiltlessness. They are not guilty of anything that what God did not create them to have or be. So it's a very quick prayer to bring you back to the truth. And remember, just an act of willingness is all that is needed. And what was so beautiful in that accident is their car rolled several times, and as soon as I ran back there and the fourth person was crawling from under the car, I checked everybody out. The only thing that happened is the driver had broken her acrylic thumbnail. It popped off. And I thought that was quite miraculous. My mind said they were going to all die. That's how horrific the accident was. But if we will stand in our house of light and not budge and be willing to bring whatever we see outside those windows into the house of light and say, no, this is not the truth. This is not the will of God. God's will is happiness, the divine inheritance of, what did he say in the other sentence there? He said, he would teach you nothing except how to be happy. Well, car accidents don't look very happy to me. So I must be looking at my own projection in the place of the truth. I must have a misperception. As we do this and we remember guiltlessness for them, we can do it for anyone. He tells us whoever is saner at the time can do this. Then we see the correction, which looks a lot like a miracle. Sentence 5.
Who is there but wishes to be free of pain? He may not yet have learned how to exchange guilt for innocence, nor realize that only in this exchange can freedom from pain be his. Yet those who have failed to learn need teaching, not attack. To attack those who have need of teaching is to fail to learn from them.
If someone is a bank robber, let's say, and they are a career criminal, as we've heard, then that person does not know they could exchange their criminal behavior for innocence, they may think that is long gone, right? Because they have done so many things that are not so innocent. But he's reminding us that anyone can exchange what they have created for the innocence that God created. Anyone. And in fact, as we do that for them in our mind, release them from all of their deeds of darkness and bring them into our house of light and leave all the baggage at the door. As we invite them in, this is how we will find and claim our innocence. So let's be willing to do our one calling, our one purpose, and our one function together. You're going to find that you have lots and lots of free time to do other things that are very playful and fun because Holy Spirit takes care of all the other things and everything gets easier. Okay, let's go to paragraph 6.
Teachers of innocence, each in his own way, have joined together, taking their part in the unified curriculum of the atonement. There is no unity of learning goals apart from this. There is no conflict in this curriculum, which has one aim, however it is taught. Each effort made on its behalf is offered for the single purpose of release from guilt, to the eternal glory of God and His creation. And every teaching that points to this points straight to heaven and the peace of God. There is no pain, no trial, no fear that teaching this can fail to overcome. The power of God Himself supports this teaching and guarantees its limitless results.
What a powerful paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, let's underline sentence 4. It says, each effort made on its behalf about seeing guiltlessness in others, bringing them into our house of light, the circle of atonement, is offered for the single purpose of release from guilt to the eternal glory of God and His creation. Every time you do this, you are honoring God. Every time you do this, you are freeing each person from the images you see, and you are freeing them from those images so that they can be as God created them to be. You are taking away all the layers of whatever you thought they were away from them so that who they are can now shine in its place as it is. And then I love the sentence number 6 and 7. He says there is, you can underline these, no pain, no trial, no fear, very absolute, that teaching this can fail to overcome. So whatever trial you have, whatever pain you have, whatever fear you have, there's not any form of that that this practice will not overcome. The power of God Himself supports this teaching and guarantees its limitless results. So if you will do your function and you will forgive others of the images you see and the words that you hear, and even those ideas about sickness being real or cancer, heart disease, or criminal behavior, whatever we see that is clearly in our mind less than something we would want, forgive them. Release what you see. Bring them into the light that is your home, see them free of all of it, and then offer that place to the Holy Spirit. He says, this is the altar within you, and you have to bring that altar to Him clean, and He will replace your gift with His. Gets pretty exciting at that point. Let's go now to paragraph 7, and I called this the guarantee paragraph out in the column.
Join your own efforts to the power that cannot fail and must result in peace.
As you join your effort and you do your one thing that He's asking you to do, He says it cannot fail and it must result in peace. So there are so many rewards from this, you cannot even count them. So let's just know that it's a wonderful practice. You can lay down all the other things that you think you're supposed to do. It doesn't mean you won't be involved or given steps or words about how things need to go, but if you will do this one thing, Holy Spirit will show you all things through it. Sentence number two.
No one can be untouched by teaching such as this. You will not see yourself beyond the power of God if you teach only this.
We are going to teach only this, forgiveness. Whatever it is, I forgive you, I release you, I bless you. I choose to see you as a blessing, no matter what I'm seeing with my eyes or hearing with my ears. You are a blessing. You are the light of God. You are whole, complete, safe, loved, and provided for. You can only bless my life. If we will teach only this, he says we will not see ourselves ever beyond the power of God, meaning we will know the power of God within us. This is how we get there. Sentence four.
You will not be exempt from the effects of this most holy lesson, which seeks but to restore what is the right of God's creation. From everyone whom you accord release from guilt, you will inevitably learn your innocence. The circle of atonement has no end, and you will find ever-increasing confidence in your safe inclusion in the circle with everyone you bring within its safety and its perfect peace.
Let's underline sentence five, put a star there. From everyone whom you accord release from guilt, you will inevitably learn your innocence. So every day that we do this, every person we do this with, we are consolidating our memory of our own innocence. And then he says in sentence six, the circle of atonement, that house of light that we are in, has no end, and that we will find ever-increasing confidence that we are safely included in that circle with every person that we bring in and offer them safety and perfect peace. Every time you bring somebody through that door, especially the tough ones, I know there's some very tough ones out there in our mind, but especially them. If we will invite them in, it doesn't mean they're bringing their baggage with them. We are the ones that assigned the baggage. The baggage gets dropped at the door. They come walking in, and they're free of it. And they return to being the light, truth, love, innocence, and blessing that God created them to be. The moment they enter your house in your mind, and you would include them there, you can only be blessed by them. Every time you do this, you are solidifying the truth in your mind, and it becomes so unshakable, so reliable. Paragraph 8.
Well, I got to tell you, these last two or three paragraphs and the next two or three, I think I'm going to print them out and sleep with them under my pillow.
I know, right? There's a lot of promises there that are very absolute. Whatever problem anyone has here tonight, that's taken care of, but we have to do our part. We only have to do one thing. I feel like in the last few weeks for me, I just really got that. I used to practice my one thing, but I would add the 82 other things that I thought I was supposed to be doing also. I realized that there's only this one thing, forgiveness. Forgive the images you see. Forgive the words you hear. Forgive the idea that sickness is real. Forgive the idea that death is the absolute. Forgive it all. Bring them on into the house. Invite them into the holy house of light and see them as welcome there, belonging there. Remember to forgive yourself for whatever you created outside those windows, because we all know the projector is between our ears. Forgive ourselves. Forgive them. Check, check. I've just noticed that my life is changing right in front of me. It is so dramatic in such a positive way. So I'm right there with you, Terry. Let's go to paragraph 8.
Peace, then, be unto everyone who becomes a teacher of peace. For peace is the acknowledgement of perfect purity, from which no one is excluded. Within its holy circle is everyone whom God created as his son. Joy is its unifying attribute, with no one left outside to suffer guilt alone. The power of God draws everyone to its safe embrace of love and union. Stand quietly within this circle and attract all tortured minds to join with you in the safety of its peace and holiness. Abide with me within it as a teacher of atonement, not of guilt.
That could be a very simple meditation. It's just to quiet your mind, close your eyes, get nice and comfortable, and just imagine your beautiful circle of light or your house of light. Then bring everyone in, anyone that you're judging, anyone that you're seeing as less than whole, less than innocent, less than abundant, anything that is disturbing your mind, anyone that seems tortured by their own thoughts, bring them through the door, welcome them into your house of light, see them as deserving of that light, see their innocence there, and that will leave you feeling so peaceful. And that is the entry point for Holy Spirit to then lift your thoughts and show you something much more beautiful. And then that leads in sequence to you opening your eyes to a world that looks so much more beautiful. I love this first sentence you read, "Peace then be unto everyone who becomes a teacher of peace." So we're kind of offering peace in order to have peace. In our last class, he said that truth is offered first to be received. So we're trying to get to the truth, but how do we get there? We get there by offering it. And that sounds kind of wild, because if we don't know what it is, how can we offer it? But he's telling us here that we must be willing to offer peace to become a teacher of peace. It's almost like you're going in to be a teacher at a high school, but you actually have to offer the curriculum before you can even call yourself a teacher. It's a little bit different than what we're used to, but it is doable. And we can stand quietly within the circle, and we can attract everyone through our door. We can see them in their safety, their peace, and their holiness. He says, when you do this, you are doing what he is asking you to do, and he will replace your gift to him with his. Paragraph 9.
Blessed are you who teach with me. Our power comes not of us, but of our Father. In guiltlessness we know him as he knows us, guiltless. I stand within the circle, calling you to peace. Teach peace with me, and stand with me on holy ground. Remember for everyone your Father's power that he has given him. Believe not that you cannot teach his perfect peace. Stand not outside, but join with me within. Fail not the only purpose to which my teaching calls you. Restore to God his Son, as he created him, by teaching him his innocence.
Let's put a box around sentence 9 where it says only purpose. We have to listen up and hear those words. Fail not the only purpose to which my teaching calls you. Restore to God his Son, meaning invite them into your house of light, your circle of atonement. He tells us in this paragraph that he's standing right there with you on holy ground, and redeem the person that you're judging to be less than whole. Whatever you are seeing that is less than wholeness, bring them in the house, restore to them their wholeness, their dignity, their love, their blessing, their innocence. See them as only a blessing to you. Teach them their innocence by inviting them into your house of innocence, and you will know your own light. You will remember your true self through this. Paragraph 10.
The crucifixion had no part in the atonement. Only the resurrection became my part in it. That is the symbol of the release from guilt by guiltlessness. Whom you perceive as guilty, you would crucify. Yet you restore guiltlessness to whomever you see as guiltless.
If we have people outside of our house that we would be tempted to block and bolt the door, he's telling us that you can't do that a little bit. when you put somebody outside your house and you see them as attacking or mean or wrong or bad or sick or guilty, that you are basically crucifying them in your mind. You're saying, I want them gone and I want something good for me to happen, but we are not separate. It's like trying to chop off your own arm and throw it out the window. You are not going to be happy with the result. So we're going to invite them in and we're going to redeem them. We are going to resurrect them in our mind, leaving all baggage at the door. Anything we have assigned to them, remember where the thoughts and images are coming from, the projector between our ears. We are looking at what we project to be true in the place of truth. So as we do this, we are offering the resurrection. And this, he says, is what he came to teach. It was his part in the atonement, was his resurrection. As we stand with him, we can offer that same beautiful resurrection to every person we welcome through our door. Sentence 6.
Crucifixion is always the ego's aim. It sees everyone as guilty, and by its condemnation, it would kill. The Holy Spirit sees only guiltlessness, and in his gentleness, he would release from fear and reestablish the reign of love. The power of love is in his gentleness, which is of God, and therefore cannot crucify nor suffer crucifixion. The temple you restore becomes your altar, for it was rebuilt through you, and everything you give to God is yours. Thus he creates, and thus must you restore.
You can think of sentence number 10 where he says, the temple you restore becomes your altar, for it was rebuilt through you. You can think of that circle of atonement or the house of light within you as your temple. You are restoring it each time you bring someone through the door that you did judge as being less than whole for whatever reason. You did judge as being guilty of something. As you bring them in through your door into your house of light, you are restoring your temple, which is your altar to God. It is being rebuilt through you. And then you get to claim all the rewards that come from the truth of that temple as it is. He says, and everything you give to God is yours. So you're actually giving this gift right back to yourself. Now we'll go to the last paragraph for tonight, number 11.
Each one you see, you place within the holy circle of atonement or leave outside, judging him fit for crucifixion or for redemption. If you bring him into the circle of purity, you will rest there with him. If you leave him without, you join him there.
Let's pause right now. Let's practice together. Just take one person that you find that you judge a lot. Whoever it is, could be someone close to you, someone that you don't know, someone that you see on the news or someone that you hear on or read about on social media. Just pick one person that you have been actively judging, casting that stone of guilt. And let's first forgive ourselves for casting the stone of guilt, because we've never been able to alter anyone through our judgments, because what God created within them cannot be altered just because we're judging them. So let's forgive ourselves. We forgive the idea that we have ever brought pain or harm to anyone. Let's forgive that idea. Let's remember that we can only bless them. And now for that person, let's get that front door open to our house of light that extends forever. Already as they're walking towards the door and we're calling them in, we're welcoming them in, and let's just say that they're very eager to join us there. They want to be done with that darkened role, whatever it is. And as they come through the door, all the images of pain or guilt or deception or hurt or dishonor or disrespect, deception, lies, whatever it is, sickness, darkness, evil, it falls away right at the door. And as they enter in, our house becomes even more illuminated. We might even feel like we would drop to our knees because the light is so bright as they have joined us there. Invite them in, the truth of them, leaving what is not true about them outside for Holy Spirit to take care of. Our part is to acknowledge the truth and to bring that in. And he says that each one we see, we either bring in or we leave outside. We either crucify them by leaving them outside or we redeem them by bringing them inside. If we bring them into the circle of purity, that house of light, we rest there with them. And if we leave them outside, we join them there. You will see your life radically shift for the better as you're willing to see the truth of them. Their innocence is your own. Sentence 4.
Judge not, except in quietness, which is not of you. Refuse to accept anyone as without the blessing of atonement, and bring him into it by blessing him. Holiness must be shared, for therein lies everything that makes it holy. Come gladly to the holy circle, and look out in peace on all who think they are outside. Cast no one out, for here is what he seeks along with you. Come, let us join him in the holy place of peace, which is for all of us, united as one within the cause of peace.
So beautiful. Remember, he's going to replace your gift with his, and that is such a beautiful promise and guarantee. So whatever is troubling anyone here tonight, be willing to know that you're not looking at the truth. You're not hearing the truth. You are hearing and seeing what you used to believe to be the truth, but it's in the place of the truth. It's blocking the truth. And Holy Spirit is trying to restore your mind to what is true, to wake you up to all the love, the happiness, the abundance, the light, the joy, the peace that God created for you. It was created for you. And this is all yours to have. You will know these gifts, but we must first offer them to everyone else. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. It is our one function. It is our only purpose. It is our one calling. Forgive. Forgive the image you see. Forgive the words you hear. Be determined to not judge anyone. Be determined to not crucify anyone with your thoughts or attack them with your mind. Just practice. You might take 3 days of just solid practice. Whatever you are judging, you'll know, because your peace will be disturbed. You will have a fall off of your peace. And when this happens, pause. Forgive what you are seeing. Forgive what you are hearing, meaning to let it go. Lay it down. Invite them into your house of light. Whoever, whatever that is, see the innocence instead of guilt. And always forgive yourself for thinking it up, for extending projection instead of extending peace. Forgive yourself. You have never altered the truth. Your guide that stands with you in your house of light is already there and will take it from there. He's asking you to do one thing. And then he tells us that once you accept his plan, which is that, nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. Such a beautiful guarantee. He tells us that our inner guide cannot fail, that God gave us the Holy Spirit to show us the way back to the truth the moment that we believe we got lost. Our guide is perfect. The plan is perfect. You will wake up. Everything's going to be okay. And delay will stop when you do your part and let Holy Spirit do His. It gets simpler and simpler in reality. All right, everybody. So Terry's going to finish us out here tonight with one of his Q&As.
I'm going to do that. I just wanted to share, though, I jotted down a couple notes for myself. At least in my mind in the future, I'm going to put as a title after my name, you know, like people say manager of this or accountant or whatever it might be. I'm going to put, I still have to work on, it's a work in progress here, but it's some kind of combination of Terry Macy, comma, TOA, TOI, and TOP from the last few paragraphs we talked about. TOA is Teacher of Atonement, and TOI is Teacher of Innocence, and TOP is Teacher of Peace.
Very nice.
So,
you're
I like
hired.
Those job titles.
You're
right,
hired.
Cool. I like those job titles.
And I will assist you.
Right.
In
and
any
I even
way.
Wrote down some criteria of that teacher: to awaken all, to end separation, and to reestablish the reign of love.
There you go. It gets reestablished first in our mind, and all of that gets done simply through forgiveness, and Holy Spirit does all the heavy lifting. Our part is to open the door in our mind, and the rest is done for us. That's beautiful,
cool.
Terry.
And I know, as long as I keep you making all the decisions, I'm clear sailing.
Smart man.
I'm guaranteed of a positive
outcome. Oh, we're just kidding.
Outcome.
Terry gets to make a decision at least once a day.
That's right, at least once.
At least once.
Like, let's get up.
Nah, twice.
All right. Here comes my Q&A. Question. Father, please remind me of some of the basics of preparing myself to receive a miracle. And the answer comes in text chapter 1, section 1. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. Miracles occur naturally as an expression of love. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Prayer is the medium of miracles. It is a means of communication of the created with the Creator. A miracle is a correction introduced into false thinking by me. It acts as a catalyst, breaking up erroneous perception and reorganizing it properly. The Holy Spirit is the mechanism of miracles. Miracles arise from a miraculous state of mind or a state of miracle readiness. The miracle is an expression of an inner awareness of Christ and the acceptance of His atonement. As you share my unwillingness to accept error in yourself and others, you must join the great crusade to correct it. Listen to my voice. Learn to undo error and act to correct it. The power to work miracles belongs to you. I will provide the opportunities to do them, but you must be ready and willing.
Thank you for that. That's so beautiful. We learn here that miracles come to us as a correction of what is not so, and that the Holy Spirit is the one that is the orchestrator of the miracle, also the mechanism of the miracle. So we're not out there to figure out how to get all these miracles done. Our part is to forgive the images we see, the words that we hear. We have one job. Remember, one job to do on the job description. And Holy Spirit is the mechanism to show us the correction of what we used to believe, and that looks like a miracle. So we have no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. So whatever it is that you are working on here tonight, lay down your need to fix it. That's not your job. That's Holy Spirit's job. Your part is to forgive the problem in the first place, forgive yourself for any contribution to the problem, forgive anyone else you believe contributed to the problem, Invite everybody into your house of light, your circle of atonement, your altar to God. This is your gift to God. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to lay down all of my thoughts about this. I'm going to be willing to be wrong about this. And I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to decide for me instead. Then you've done your part, and Holy Spirit can do his. Holy Spirit, we thank you tonight as we all join together in the light. We know that you are the problem solver, so that's why I like to come to you. We can, of course, say God or Holy Spirit or Jesus or divine mind, divine light. There's many words for that beautiful divine intelligence. But we call to you today because you are clear, wise, and perfect. You have every answer. What's not to love, right? So we come to you and we bring to you whatever concern we have. And up until now, we might have tried everything we know to solve it. Maybe we've been trying to be so clever or work extra hard, or we've been trying to map out a way around this problem or a way to end the problem. And today, we simply give it to you in complete surrender. We forgive the problem. We forgive the idea that we could have a problem. Because in oneness with God, there is no problem. We give you this problem and we leave it in your hands. We forgive ourselves for any idea that we could create a problem that cannot be solved. And we are willing to know that any problem can be solved because it is a symbol of what is not so. It is the representation of what never has been. And so it can be undone with ease by you. We come to you with complete humility. We lay it in your hands. And we are willing to know that we are worthy of your great blessings. We are worthy of knowing the happiness, joy, peace, love, abundance of our Creator, that we have a right to the inheritance of our kingdom because God loves us so much. And we receive that blessing today. We offer our forgiveness to everyone, to everything, to offer them a blessing instead of attack, to offer them redemption instead of crucifixion, to be willing to see their innocence instead of their guilt. We are willing, and we will practice for at least 3 days until it becomes a habit. And then we don't have to practice as much because the habit will be in place. And this is our gift to you, and we offer it together, and we receive your gift together. Amen.